broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Every now and then, I like to read the testimonies that come in. This one from Lise. She writes, "Scriptural truth and clarity are Hank's hallmark. No question is too silly or small, or too big or complicated. I continue to benefit from every Christian Research Institute article I read, as well as every broadcast of the Christian Research Institute's Bible Answer Man broadcast that I listen to." Also, a testimony from Sandra, who writes, "I would like to take an opportunity to tell you how grateful to God I am for you and your ministry, which has helped me tremendously. I was a Muslim, and it was ministries like yours that really helped me get over that threshold and really accept Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. So all that being said, I just thank God for you so much. I hope that God continues to bless you beyond measure, and I hope that the ministry just lasts forever to touch lives as it has mine. And I thank God for you. God bless you." And whenever I read these testimonies, I'm not only grateful, but I'm also reminded that when someone prays that our ministry would last forever, it brings up the reality that we live in an age of political correctness and our ministry is not politically correct. I think about watching a television program in which Conchita Wurst pushed the boundaries of gender identity at the Eurovision Song Contest in Copenhagen. There were some 180 million television viewers. Wurst, who happened to win, was roundly lauded for his courage in forwarding the normalcy of transgenderism, sporting sensually highlighted eyes, a heavy dose of lipstick, cheekbones accentuated by an ample volume of makeup, a gorgeous spaghetti strap dress, the bearded drag queen champion progressive ideals of Western civilization against the backward tyranny of Eastern powers like Russia, which stereotypically views the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning movement as a prime example of spiritual decay in Western Europe and America. But shortly after I watched Conchita win this contest, I read a newspaper article about a happy, kind, sweet, considerate six-year-old named AJ, who had been determined to be transgender. This rough-and-tumble kid, who once sported buzz cuts, was dressed for his birthday as a pirate, but now growing her chestnut hair below her shoulders because AJ was now a girl, and the narrative was crystal clear. Those who would so much as bat an eye at the determination of a six-year-old boy to become a girl are like the bigots who once fueled the fires of racism in America. The arc of history, opined the newspaper, is moving quickly towards both greater tolerance and acceptance enhanced by, of course, Bruce Jenner's public transgenderism. But the Bible is very clear about these activities. It carefully defines the borders of human sexuality so that our joy might indeed be complete. Now, we should never have a we-they-siege mentality. We must commit ourselves to being salt and light, but do it with gentleness and with respect. Joe Dallas said it best. We can preach the right things in all the wrong ways, either too aggressively or too meekly. When either conviction or compassion is compromised, revision is in order. But we should never yield our consciences to the subtle lure of political correctness. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe, even though the temptation to yield to cultural norms will continue to be pressed upon us with increasing ferocity. To yield is to abandon the very call that God has placed upon our collective lives. To deny natural law is to strike a mortal blow against the foundations of a free society. And this all is prologue to saying that I'm so excited about Joe Dallas's book, Speaking of Homosexuality, because it does so, as the subtitle indicates, with kindness, but with clarity. This is an incredible resource. Every one of our lives is touched by homosexuality in one way or another. So this is a must-read for every Christian. If it hasn't been touched, it will be. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And remember, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. We have a full board, as always. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go back to the phone lines, or start with the phone lines. Michael in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi.
Hi. I just had a quick question about a heaven and hell. So supposedly there's no sadness or suffering in heaven. Like, it's, you're always happy. I was just curious how that's possible, because let's say my mom was a Christian, which she's not, and she dies and goes to heaven, and I'm an atheist, I die, I go to hell. Would she be sad, or would she be happy, even though she's never going to see me again?
Well, look, in heaven, we're going to see things from God's perspective. The judge of heaven and earth has taken every converging factor into perfect consideration. And we will likewise fully comprehend that all who are in hell are there because they spurned the relationship that could have been theirs. The joy we experience in heaven is not some kind of fragile state of elation that is characterized by frivolity, but it's a permanent, it's a steadfast joy that's characterized by the foundation that it has an ultimate truth and reality. So the bottom line from my perspective is that there's no warrant for supposing that memories of lost loved ones are going to be erased. However, in eternity, we will see things as they really are, and we will exult in the balance of God's perfect love and justice. I mean, all who are in hell because that is what they want. In fact, taking someone who does not want a relationship with God from hell to heaven is the ultimate insult, because it is a violation of their will. And God does not do that in this life nor the next.
I should be in hell. I don't want to go to hell.
Well, if you do not want to go to hell, then what you want is to be a participant in the kingdom of light, as opposed to being a participant in the kingdom of darkness. I mean, everyone...
I can't believe in it, because I can't force myself to believe in things that I don't find any evidence for. So,
well, let me give you the evidence. You can obscure the evidence, but the fact is God's eternal power, divine nature, are clearly seen through what has been made. So when you see the sun, you know there has to be a sun maker. If you find a basketball on a deserted island, for Pete's sake, you know there's a basketball maker. So if you look at the heavens, you know that there has to be a heaven creator, as it were. I mean, you think about the fact that you live in a universe that has 170 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars. There are more stars and galaxies than grains of sand on all the beaches of Earth. You can't pawn that off, as some materialists do, by saying in some vague obscurantist way that nothing creates everything, life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces morals. Simply doesn't make any sense. But even beyond that, Michael, God's knowledge is written on the tablet of your consciousness. In other words, there is a knowledge of God written in your DNA. And therefore, if you seek after light, you can have more light. However, if you want to reject the light that is so evidently all around you, then you can be in the condition where it's difficult to find God. As Pascal said, God gives you enough light, so if you want to find him, you will, and he dwells in enough darkness, so if you don't want to find him, you won't.
Pascal's wager has been, is like...
I wasn't quoting Pascal's wager. I was simply saying that Pascal once said that God dwells in enough light that if you want to find him, you will. He dwells in enough darkness, so if you do not want to find him, you won't.
Okay, so let's say I do want to find him.
Well, then first of all, you have to respond to the light of creation. It's all around you.
But
are you willing to do that?
I can explain with science. They don't need an amenity. We don't know where it came from, but that's because we're trying to figure out where it came from. We didn't know why we orbited the sun, so everyone thought it was God. We don't know where the universes came from, so we make up theories and we test the theories, and we never just say...
No, it's common sense. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself.
Well, actually, they did an experiment where they found out...
But isn't that common sense to you? I mean, let's not talk about they. Let's just talk about you. You're a smart guy. When you see an effect that is incredibly complex, maybe you see something like a cell, which we used to think was fairly simple, and now we know is enormously complex. Or you think about an atom, which we now know has a nucleus, and know it has electrons and protons, and even that we know is reducible to fermions and bosons. And beyond that, we say, we're not sure about solidity. Everything may be wavelets of knowledge. But the fact of the matter is, when you see this kind of complexity, and you keep drilling down, you know there has to be a creator of that complexity. I mean, it stands to reason when you see, I mean, if you saw an airplane for the first time, you wouldn't say, wow, look what just happened.
Yeah, but it's all explained. Like you can explain where an atom is. You can explain the parts of it. And we're learning more about it. We're learning where they came from. Like, we're learning how life came to be, that we see stages of atoms, of how they progress, like more basic atoms through evolution.
Now, where do you see that? Where do you see that?
Not atoms. I mean,
you say we see that, but where?
Hmm?
Where do we see that? Where do we see?
Progressing. You can see basic cells, more advanced cells, to the point where it starts to become higher forms of life. You can see the cells.
Darwin's tree of life has been uprooted by the Cambrian explosion. To hold to an outdated theory is not enlightened. It is simply being an obscurantist. It is saying, I don't want to look at the facts.
Well, I'm not a biologist, but I know that the majority of biologists are atheists, like Richard Dawkins, who is an evolutionary biologist who studies this. And I'd rather trust him.
Yeah, but what does he say?
Mister.
What does he say? I mean, he's a zoologist, and he once said it is as though the fossils were just planted there without any evolutionary history. And that's exactly what we find when you follow science or follow truth wherever it leads. I mean, the tree of life is an icon. It's the principal symbol of evolution, and many people simply unthinkingly bow in deep devotion before it. But the fact of the matter is...
I have a lot of facts about evolution.
What's that?
I've researched.
Well, then you know that Darwin's tree of life is not only uprooted by the Cambrian, but the fossil record in general shows no evidence for the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. You know that because you've looked at it.
No, their evolution on a micro level is fact. Evolution, we've seen it in birds. So, like, if you leave a bird on an island...
But we're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about microevolution. Everybody acknowledges microevolution. Everybody acknowledges that there are changes within kinds or species, if you want to use the loaded term. But here's the problem. You want to hold a faith position as opposed to a scientific position. The notion that unguided, purposeless processes can transform the ears, for example, of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling, saltwater whale, and you want to hold that that can happen in a matter of 10 million years. But that takes a tremendous amount of faith. And by the way, you know, we are talking about doing good science just as we ought to be talking about doing good scripture. We need to learn to read the text in the way it's intended, but also do science well. I'll be right back.
About Joe Dallas and his new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Hank Hanegraaff says, "No one understands the subject of same-sex sexuality better than my friend Joe Dallas. This book, his best yet, only confirms my conviction. I'm not speaking merely of Joe's formidable knowledge of truth, but also the wisdom of its application through crystal clear and concise communication. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, Speaking of Homosexuality will equip you to engage a topic that is foundational to human civilization." Hank would like to send you Joe's book as our thank you for your support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit us at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Gay-affirming interpretations of the Bible promoted by revisionist Christians, whether heterosexual or openly gay, challenge long-standing Orthodox beliefs about the sinfulness of homosexuality. According to revisionists, the authority of the Bible is not changed, but its message on homosexuality has been mistranslated or misinterpreted. In his book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, Joe Dallas addresses the gay Christian phenomenon and its revisionism with the careful attention it requires. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mark, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, Bot Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hey, I got a question for you. Well, first off, I want to say I appreciate you, and I really love your ministry, and I love what you're doing for Christ. So,
thank you.
Definitely want to say that. Just wanted to ask you a question. First, I'm a Christian, follow Christ the whole nine yards, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I have some friends that were Christians, but now they're Black Hebrew Israelites, and they kind of talk to me about a lot of the, you know, the history of, you know, Jesus and back then, and just listening to their point of view of everything about how this society and, you know, how they got a false image of Christ today. And they don't reference him as Jesus and the whole nine. What's your thoughts on the Black Hebrew Israelites? And do you believe that they can still go to heaven with their beliefs?
Well, first thing I would say is that this group is not monolithic. There are lots of groups, as it were, within this movement. For example, Rastafarianism, which teaches that the black man is the reincarnation of Israel and that the white man is inferior and that the black man will one day rule the world. So the basic premise is a premise of racism, or the Nation of Islam. Wallace Fard, of course, was the founder, and then you had a succession of men who were involved with this movement in a leadership capacity, Elijah Muhammad, Farah Khan, Malcolm X. It's a movement that's still promoted by rappers like Public Enemy and Ice Cube and so forth. But the idea that they're communicating is that the white man was grafted into existence 7,000 years ago by a doctor named Jacob, a scientist, as it were. And they have the basic premise that the white man is inherently deceptive and murderous and so forth. Again, a lot of racism. If you look at the Black Hebrew Israelite movement in general, the idea is that blacks are Hebrew, that whites are descended from Gehazi, who was cursed with leprosy in the Bible, and that's what made them white. But I think an even more significant problem is the problem that they teach that salvation is through obedience to the laws of Moses. In true Christianity, the laws of Moses have been fulfilled, which is to say we don't have to go back to a theocratic system or Mosaic law, because the law ultimately is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and therefore we do not have the onerous burden of having to keep all the details of the law, which none of us can do. Christ did that for us. So we do need to adhere to those laws that are universal in their application, including one which would say we should never be racist. For me, as a Dutch person born in Holland, to look at someone in Africa and think that that person is inferior in some way would be an indication that I'm not a believer, because in Christianity there is no such thing as racism. Christianity does not abide racism because God does not play favorites with people. So at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. So as a white person, or a Caucasian, or someone of European descent, I should not make distinctions between people based on skin color or color of eyes or any other genetic difference. We should recognize that we're all human beings, and the thing that makes us identical, quite frankly, is that we have the identical imprimatur of God stamped upon our being, which is we have the imago Dei, the image and likeness of God, which means that a Down syndrome child has the same worth as a distinguished scientist, that a Barack Obama has the same worth as someone who is sweeping streets or cleaning closets or whatever. We have intrinsic value, and therefore we should never look at another person as inferior or suggest, as this movement does, that whites are inferior to blacks. So this is simply a racist idea. Whether it's blacks inferior to whites or vice versa, in either case, it is a horrendous thought. It is a horrendous evil.
So let me ask you this then. So like the image of today, the way that society has Christ, it doesn't match up with what the Bible speaks of Christ. So is that a lie when you go to a church and you see, you know, an image of Christ that's not biblical and the history is not biblical? Wouldn't you say that's a lie or a misrepresentation?
Yeah, I would say it's a lie. I mean, if you see an image of Jesus Christ with blue eyes and blonde hair, it's a lie. Jesus Christ was Semitic. And therefore, to suggest that he had blue eyes and blonde hair is simply a prostitution of the truth. Yes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking time out and answering my question, and it helped out a lot. And if you have any information on this, on that in any deeper, you know, level, I would definitely appreciate that. I can kind of research some more and, you know, be able to share that with my friends, because they really follow Christ, but they're caught up in this stuff that's going on out here in St. Louis and Ferguson and all this, and it's convenient to kind of jump on, you know, I ain't gonna say bandwagon, but this movement of, you know, erratic behavior and all that. So if it's any type of information that you would have,
I do. In fact, you know, we did a cover story on this, Mark. It was the last edition of the Christian Research Journal. The cover story was titled "The Origin and the Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement."
Okay.
So hang on, I can get that out to you, or you can hang on and subscribe, whatever you want to do.
I appreciate
it. Hey, great talking to you, man.
Be blessed.
Right. Blessings to you as well. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Vicki in Spencer, Iowa. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
It's my pleasure.
And I'm sorry for your loss. I wanted to say that, and I really love what you're doing on the radio. And what I wanted to say was, I've heard people say that, or you've talked about people that don't want to vote, maybe they don't want to be involved in what's happening in the world because they don't want, I don't know what the reason is, but it makes me think of the story of the Good Samaritan. What was that all about? Aren't we supposed to help? If a baby is laying in the ditch, aren't we supposed to, you know, America is supposed to stand up and as Christians, you know, vote and care about the things God cares about in this life. And I was wondering what your thoughts would be about that.
Well, I actually thought that was a brilliant observation on your part, to be honest with you. I've never made that tie in my own mind, but I think that is an apt observation.
If we don't vote, it's going to be recorded in all of eternity that we did nothing.
Well, I think we have to take advantage of the means that we have been given. And, you know, whenever you're faced with decisions involving imperfect people, imperfect platforms, imperfect parties, you still have to make a choice because there's maybe two bad choices, but one is worse than the other. So you have to make a choice, and you have to consider, and I oftentimes say I don't necessarily consider the party or the person to the same degree that I consider the platform.
Right. That's the whole thing. If they don't want to be involved in this life, then what is the Good Samaritan story about? You know, if they don't want to be involved in this life, because now they're Christians and their focus is in the future when they leave this life. But we're here.
Yep, we got to be involved. Absolutely, we got to be involved. And you know, I've often said that the ballot box is necessary. It's not sufficient. There are many other ways that we need to be involved as well. Very, very good article on this. I mentioned it, I think, on yesterday's show. It's an article up on equip.org. It's called The Christian Citizen. It discusses the responsibilities of Christians living in Western liberal democracies. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tommy listening in Shawnee, Oklahoma on Bod Radio. Hi, Tommy.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not well. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Well, I became a Christian when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was led by the Lord. I'm 57 now. I lived the majority of my life as a homosexual, and there were times in my life when I wished that I could be a girl or thought I should have been a girl. I prayed to the Lord that I would meet a woman that would love me, and I would have 2 boys and live happily ever after. It happened, but the happily ever after part never came true. My wife divorced me after 20 years, and my youngest son came out as a homosexual probably 2 or 3 years before our divorce, and I tried to talk to him about, you know, that you don't have to be that way. Anyway, since the divorce, I haven't seen him probably in 6 months. He came up for my birthday. And my brother called me one day and said, my wife, she's my ex-wife, but she's still my wife because I believe that we're still married regardless. Anyway, welcomed on Facebook her new transsexual daughter, and he wanted to know if she had adopted somebody. And I said, well, no, she hasn't talked to me about anything. I don't know anything about it. I don't do Facebook, blah, blah, blah. And then he texted me and sent me a YouTube video where my youngest son is transgendering. And I don't know how to deal with it. I have such hate for the country and the direction it's gone in.
Tommy, I don't want to be rude, but we're 15 seconds from going into a hard break. Let me hold you over when I come back from the break. I'm going to give the quote of the day, and then we'll continue with the conversation. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
When a family member or friend says, I'm gay, it can be very difficult to hear, but also difficult for the same-sex attracted person to utter. In these heartbreaking situations, having the right response is crucial. Few can navigate these troubled waters like Joe Dallas. In his book, When Homosexuality Hits Home, What to Do When a Loved One Says, I'm Gay, Joe offers experience and compassionate counsel for those whose loved ones struggle with homosexual desire. Receive your copy of When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank Hannah Graf will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although the vast majority of historians and other scholars affirm the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth, the view that such an individual never existed is gaining popularity in the public arena. Settling the issue is a matter of historical evidence. And beyond question, the evidence of Jesus is the best explanation of this evidence. Other topics include the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, Suicide Squad, Deadpool, and the rise of the comic book anti-hero, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hannah Graf has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Not long ago, the gay rights movement was asking that homosexual people be treated fairly and with respect. But today, mere legitimization is not enough. The gay rights movement now demands, with all the subtlety of a socialist purge, the punishment of anyone objecting to that legitimization. The new book, Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, equips readers to respond to this volatile issue with reason and compassion. To receive your copy of Speaking of Homosexuality as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a donation to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or donate online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hannah Graf.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day is poignant and profound. It comes from Noah Webster, who said, "The Bible is the chief moral cause of all that is good and the best corrective of all that is evil in human society, the best book for regulating the temporal concerns of men, and the only book that can serve as an infallible guide. The principles of genuine liberty and of wise laws and administrations are to be drawn from the Bible and sustained by its authority. The man, therefore, who weakens or destroys the divine authority of that book may be accessory to all the public disorders which society is doomed to suffer. And we have recognized what Lee Kuan Yew once said: all civilization is essentially fragile. When you abdicate natural law, you cut off the very branch on which you're sitting. The consequences are horrendous, and we are suffering those consequences as a civilization, as a society, and on an individual level within families as well. Let's go back to Tommy. I want to say just a couple of things in light of what you were discussing with respect to your circumstance and the circumstance of the divorce, and also of a son that comes out as a homosexual. And I think the first thing I want to say is that you don't want to buy into the narrative. So whenever we say my son is gay or my son is transgender, what we're doing is we're buying into a narrative. Essentially, the narrative with respect to transgenderism is that biology no longer determines your gender, but your gender is determined by your feelings. And that's simply a false premise. It's not only false, but it's inherently dangerous. The second thing I would say is give yourself wholly to God. I mean, you are in a difficult situation, but no situation is too difficult for God, which is to say that God can bring beauty out of ashes, and that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. So we don't see how that works out necessarily from a human perspective, because we're looking at the tapestry from below, a lot of discordant strings hanging haphazardly in one direction or another. But if you see the tapestry from above, there's a plan and a purpose to all things for those who are called according to the purposes of God. I was also thinking, Tommy, about a book by Joe Dallas. It's not necessarily the book that we're recommending, although I think it'd be very good as well, the book that we're recommending all this month for those who support the ministry, is a book called Speaking of Homosexuality. But Joe also wrote a book that's titled When Homosexuality Hits Home. And I think that book would be particularly apropos for your situation.
Yes, Hank, I agree. I wish that I could have called him when Joe was there. I don't think you caught half of what I said. I, too, would have transgendered when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
If our society, if that was what society was, contrary to popular belief, back then I was beat up every day in school because it was obvious that I was a girl boy. And I was a Christian, but I believe that that was the way that God made me. I was born that way. And one day, on my front porch, on the front porch of my mother's house, the Lord came to me and told me to repent and be free from this. And I did, and I am. But I can understand me being paying for my sins in this lifetime, but I can't understand my child paying for my sins in this lifetime. And I don't even know how to talk to him about it, because I know if I go to talk to him, I will break down, and I'll just, I love him so much. I can't, wouldn't be able to try to even persuade him otherwise. I know this is not what you're for, you can't me.
But you could do the opposite of what people did to you, which is you were badgered and you were harassed. You can love your son unconditionally, and you can pray every single day that God would bring people and circumstances into his life such that his life might be transformed. Your life was transformed in a rather miraculous way as you're describing it, and the same thing can happen with your son. And I think that the deep love of a father that you're manifesting can also extend to others. I mean, there are a lot of people right now Tommy, that are listening to you. And even though they don't know you, they don't know all the circumstances, just as I don't, they certainly, as Christians, feel a deep compassion and love for your, for you and for the circumstance in which you are. And I can guarantee you, I know this for absolutely certain, just having done this broadcast for almost 3 decades, there will be a lot of people over a long period of time praying specifically for your circumstance and the circumstance of your family. And even your wife, you still consider as your wife, which I think is very laudable. I think as long as the possibility of reconciliation is there, you ought to pursue it, and I think that's fantastic. But I really do think...
She's lifting him up and glorifying him.
I understand that. I understood what you said. But this is why I'm recommending this book, and I'd be happy just to send it to you as my gift, but When Homosexuality Hits Home, because that book deals specifically with what you're going through, and not just in a airy fashion with trite platitudes, but in a very practical way. I want to pray for you, Tommy. That's all I know to do. Lord Jesus Christ, I bring Tommy into your presence. You know his family circumstances much better than I do from the vantage point of a short conversation. Lord, you know all the details. And Lord, you can bring beauty out of ashes. And so, Lord, we do lay Tommy and his family before your throne of grace. And Lord, I pray for a miracle for Tommy. I pray that his broken heart might be mended, that he might be able to show the kind of love and compassion demonstrated in this call, and that you will, in fact, cause this circumstance to be reversed. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that many others will talk to you about this same thing and lift up Tommy in prayer. And we pray all of this, not in vain, just utterances, but in true belief, knowing that you are the God that heals the broken. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity to talk to you, even through the miracle of electronics. We do so not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus, amen.
Bless you, Tommy. I will definitely be praying for you, and I'm sure my family will. They listen to the broadcast, and a lot of people in the family of faith will be praying for you as well. And hang on. I can get that book out to you one way or the other.
Thank you.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sue. She's listening in Canada, British Columbia, K-A-R-I. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I was just listening to Tommy, your previous caller. What a fantastic call. He's answered a question I've wanted to know for years. And I'm so grateful that he had the courage to make that call. And I, too, will be praying for him and his family. I had a friend who was a homosexual all his life and was wanting to commit suicide. And I hung around with him for about 9 months so he wouldn't do it. And he didn't do it, thank God. But his family wanted nothing to do. They were told to, you know, turn him out. It was just a nightmare. And I prayed and prayed and prayed to God. I said, what is the answer here? How could this happen to a Christian child and all the rest of it? And I got my answer, you know, with your friend who called. Now, my friend did agree that he had prayed many, many times not to be that way. But... it didn't go that way for him. I'm so grateful.
You know, it's one of the reasons I am so excited about Joe Dallas's book, When Homosexuality Hits Home. You know, Joe lived in the gay community for a long time. He was a leader of a gay church, a gay megachurch, actually. And Joe is very forthright about the fact that this is his besetting sin. This is what he struggles with. And you know, we all have our own besetting sins. We all have our struggles, and we have to be forthright about that. We can't simply try to drive these kinds of things into the closet. And we also, being forthright about it, take protective measures. You know, if you're an alcoholic, or you struggle with alcoholism, and you've gone through AA meetings and so forth, and you found a solution to your problem, you don't suddenly say, well, now I'm going to start hanging around in bars, because you're back into the same temptation, you're back into the same context, and when you put yourself in that situation, you're sure to fall, because these are your besetting sins. So we have to be careful and prudent about what we do. We have to be honest about our own proclivities. Same-sex proclivities are not mythological, they're real. What do you do? Ultimately, what you have to do is you have to put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against principalities and powers. And that means understanding not only what the full armor of God is by rote, like being able to say the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, etc. It means that you understand which each piece of the armor actually entails. I wrote a book about this called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. But I think a lot of this does ultimately end up in spiritual warfare, and we have to know how to deal with spiritual warfare, not in a superstitious way, as many in the church are doing today, but rather in a very biblical way, in a very practical way. So I'm glad you called the book When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas is very apropos to the calls I just got. Also, the resource of the month, speaking of homosexuality, our board is full. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so my apologies to people calling from all over the world. Hopefully, we'll have an opportunity to have a discussion on tomorrow's broadcast. We'll be live tomorrow again. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can tell that what we're discussing not in the sense of being politically correct, but biblically correct. And we do that at a great cost, and we do thank those who stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Thanks for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Today, the gay rights movement is no longer content with mere tolerance, but rather demands wholehearted affirmation or punishment for those who don't comply. Responding to this totalitarian agenda with gentleness requires an informed and caring approach. That's why Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity by Joe Dallas, as our thanks for your gift of support in the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Just call 888-7000-CRI or write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or donate online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Something is changing in our cultural portrayal of superheroes. In highly successful films such as Deadpool, Batman vs. Superman, and Suicide Squad, and in popular TV shows such as Lucifer and The Preacher, morally compromised superheroes are willing to lie, steal, and even murder bad guys. How should we respond to the rise of the anti-hero? Other topics include mythicism and the public Jesus of history, logical and biblical defeaters of reincarnation and karma, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval, but retribution.
In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit us at equip.org.